This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, it's Babs. If you live in Portland, Oregon, come see me. I'm headlining at the Siren Theater on Wednesday, July 26th. Show's at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to be running a lot of new jokes, and I just am really excited to do it in one of my favorite towns to do comedy. So Wednesday, July 26th at the Siren Theater in Portland. You can get tickets at sirentheater.com or on my Twitter feed or wherever. And I can't wait to see you out there. I'm Babs Gray, and it's going to be really awkward when someone realizes the books on my bookshelf are just hollowed out sandwich holders.
Surprise.
Yay. I'm Brandy Posey, and if you were a Highlander, think of how many times you get to wear sweatpants.
I'm Tess Barker, and a total Samantha here. I show up late, make only a brief appearance, and you're going to be fucking stoked about it.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone. That's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Oh my God. I forgot Samantha's coming back to the show. This means I'm going to have to watch it, I guess.
Oh yeah. Babs, we've talked about it. You're going to love it.
I know.
It's going to scratch the good, bad itch. You're going to love it.
She hasn't shown up yet, right? It hasn't started back.
It's like one episode. I think it's like the last episode of the new season.
Oh
yeah. I don't know when it premiered.
She must have held out for so much. I hope she paid a shitload.
I hope she made a ton of money. Good for her.
Yeah. Good. Yes. Perfect.
Yes, Team Samantha always. I mean, I love Carrie too. I mean, love them all, but yeah.
Just
Kim Cattrall is a badass.
She's the best.
Don't do unnecessary work.
No.
Exactly. This is a key thing. I'm going to have that energy the next time I get asked to do a show in like Long Beach that doesn't pay. And you know what I mean? Where I'm like, no, Samantha would not stand for this. I will hold out until I'm offered $10 million for one episode.
Yeah.
I mean,
WWKCBT. Who would Kim Cattrall big time?
Put it on a bracelet.
Going with a website. Yeah. Oh my God. When does this come out? I think end of July.
Sometime in July.
Maybe. I'll be in Portland the end of this month doing a bunch of shows. So come out and see those. And probably eating donuts, etc.
Oh, nice.
Heck yeah. I'm doing a show in Los Angeles on July 28th. That's got a really great lineup. You should come to it. It's called Farts, a comedy show.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, our friends Justin Lentz and Greg Edwards are starting a new monthly. And I think it's going to be really fun. So that's what's on my calendar. Come out.
Lovely. Yeah, I'm going to be, let's see. I don't have my calendar, but I'm doing the better half comedy at a really fun wine bar here. I think this week, maybe tonight, if you're in LA. I'm going to be in Santa Barbara this weekend doing a headlining set. And come see us. Check out our website and our social.
Check out our website, ladytolady.com. We've got all of our dates up there. Tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm. Just the tips.
Oh my God, what a fun episode today. So excited to have her on. I've known her through stand up forever, and she's crushing it. She's doing so much fun shit. She's got a comedy album called All the Parts on the All Things Comedy Network. She's got a podcast called The Shout Out Show, which is available wherever you listen to podcasts. And she is currently on the dark comedy thriller based on a true story, currently on Peacock. Please enjoy our hang with Aisha Alpha.
Sweet. And we will do our intro separately. And so we'll just kind of jump into hanging out.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. Depends on how well this goes. You're like, so here's this stupid bitch.
yeah, mostly we just
told
don't
you
want
the
you.
Podcast, but really it's the that actually would be the best prank ever. Just like this great interview, and then like, well, here's what some stupid answer she said. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, we like to entrap people.
Yes,
that's our main goal
here.
Did
you guys do this mean girl trick when you were in? You can't really do it anymore because everyone has cell phones. But did you guys do the mean girl trick of like you would three-way call someone and bait someone into talking shit about someone that was silently on the three-way?
Oh, no.
I knew that's what you were going to say, but I don't know that I was, I don't know if I was a part of it in a mean girl way. I'm sure I was in some other fashion, you know, probably like a crush or something like that. But
yeah,
I don't think so. What a wild.
I don't remember doing it myself, but I remember it was like a rampant thing that happened in elementary school. Like it was a very common prank.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. It was like you would call and be like, what do you think about them? And then get them to talk shit. And they'd be like, surprise, they're listening.
We did that, but I was hiding in my friend's closet. And I was convinced her friend didn't like me. And I was like, just ask her while I'm in the closet. And then it was like this awkward thing where like, then I was just in the closet and they were like playing. And I was like, so like, can I come out or, you know? Like, you're just,
did she say?
Like, oh yeah, I'm stuck in here.
She legit was like, yeah, she's fine. Like she had nothing to say about me. It was all just like weird bullshit in my head. And then I don't even want to say stuck in the closet because that's R. Kelly vibes. But like, you know, right. I was trapped in the
storage space.
Clothes. Yes. You had limited options in the wardrobe. Yeah.
I wish you'd had your recorder with you so you could have just been playing it from the closet.
We were talking about the recorder, the famous recorder instrument before recording.
Just chef's kiss. It's just
everyone's
such a good
first.
Yeah. Now, no. Okay. Everyone started out with hot cross buns, right? That's standard.
Yes. I think so. I had a clarinet. I didn't have a recorder. I don't know why I went full clarinet.
You
first.
Never got a recorder?
Mm-mm. Recorder's usually the precursor to any instrument.
For some reason, growing up in Utah, I don't remember recorders. They were probably
too
like
phallic.
Sinful. Yeah. Yeah.
Sexy.
Too sexual for us to be touching. I don't know. But I don't remember them being around. So that's a weird...
That's funny.
That is funny. I wasn't honestly, sure if it's like a Canadian thing because that's where I grew up and like every kid is part
feels
of your curriculum. Yeah. I'm the shape of a beaver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In California too, it's very standard issue for sure. Yeah. And I'm honestly surprised to hear. I mean, to me, Utah seems like recorder territory.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm so shocked. I don't know. Yeah. No wonder. I never learned an instrument. And this is, you know, it starts.
Oh, man. If you'd gotten the recorder at an early age, it would have grabbed you.
That's my sliding doors moment.
Yeah.
I feel like we're a contender, but it's you. I'm going to like send you a recorder from Amazon now.
Yes.
I hate Amazon, but I will use it to send you a recorder with like a little recorder book on how to learn. Like
bless my neighbors. They deserve it.
Okay, we're in a drum set.
Speaking of Canada and you being from there, you have been in Degrassi, multiple eras of Degrassi.
Yeah.
And I just had tell me about this. I'm a huge Degrassi head, and it's just I'm excited.
You know, like Degrassi is one of those things. Like in Canada, like I grew up with the kids of Degrassi Street, which like started in the 80s and has been sort of like going on since then. But like, it's kind of a rite of passage if you're an actor in Canada or was, cause I think now they're done, but, don't quote me on that. But like, it's just one of those things that like, you've got to go on Degrassi, whether you're an extra or you're a small character or you're a big character or you have like an arc, whatever it is, that's the thing. So I ended up being a teacher, Ms. Grell. best name in showbiz.
Ms. Grell.
And it was funny because it's like, you know, basically the teachers are just there for the arc of the students because that's what the show is about. But like, so I had this arc with, you know, some of the students and then that arc finished. And then they just moved me to be a teacher of a different thing to like for a different arc. And then they're like, no, she's a guidance counselor. And so I just, I was like, I felt like I had the real struggle of an actual teacher in like a public system where you never know, you know what I mean? They're always like changing what they have to do and stuff. But yeah. It was fun.
Right.
It's
they're
great.
Like, you can teach gym cool right thing. Here.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
That's like, fine. That's this next. Is what got funding this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they only gave teachers an arc if they were from the OG cast. If they were like,
yes.
And then they got to be the parents of the kids now or whatever, you know.
Yes, exactly. Now, no, I should be more familiar with Degrassi, but I blame it on the fact that I didn't have cable as a kid. What is it like a continuous, like, do you, is it like All My Children or something, or it's just been a continuous
kind of saga?
Kind of, yeah. So the first iteration of it was from literally from the 80s, and there was like Kids of Degrassi Street. And then some of them were in Degrassi Junior High. And then they had Degrassi High. And then they had After High School Special. And then it was like off air for a while. Then they came back with Degrassi The Next Generation, where some of the people from Degrassi Junior High and High were like the principal or like the mother of the kid, whatever. And so then it was their kids. And then there's been continuation since then where it's been sort of this like natural, like how people graduate out and there's new characters and all that kind of stuff. So yes, but like there was sort of a stint where it wasn't happening for a while.
Okay. Yeah. So it was very like gratifying because I would watch the old ones and I watched them later on in life. Like I found Degrassi Junior High later on. And then like if you watch the new ones, they would bring back some of the old like plot lines from the past.
Yes.
And it would be like our old friend Wheels, who I don't know, he's the reason that someone died and now we're dealing with at a reunion. So it was very like, yeah, they're bringing back old characters.
Yeah. You know what's cool is like, I mean, without having to be like too hokey or like too earnest, but like, you know, you watch it as a kid and you think people are trying to like make plot lines. And actually 90210 apparently Aaron Spelling. He was trying to buy the concept and the Canadian content. Like, we need Canadian content, so they refused to sell. So they made 90210, which is such a funny juxtaposition with Degrassi, because like the original Degrassi, like kids were like had blemishes,
very dramatic,
and like they were very like normal kids.
Yeah.
To speak to the executive producers, they like really were invested in like telling. Having real plot lines for what teenagers and kids were going through. So that like when I spoke to them, when I got on the show, they were like, you know, we got to talk about like the Serbian refugees who are coming into Canada. Like they legit were like, what's happening right now? Like, let's get that in
there. That's awesome.
And they wanted to talk about the things that like nobody would put on air. Our teachers used to bring in episodes of Degrassi to like teach us about like suicide or pregnancy and all this stuff. Wow. Yeah.
It was very
so
like,
they did a great job.
It was like an after school special mixed with like, you know, a teen drama. So it
got
was.
It. Meanwhile, the American version, I don't know if you guys remember this when we were kids, but 90210 pulled this shit. We were like the first or second season. They were like, this week on 90210, somebody's gonna die. Silver's friend,
right? It was just like a random person you barely knew.
Yeah, like they flashed like all the main characters and then they killed off this like extremely ancillary character that no one actually knew.
Amazing. Oh, amazing.
So good. So let's talk about Based on a True Story that's currently out on Peacock that Aisha is in. It's so exciting. Like we're on My Favorite Murder Network, which is obviously one of the biggest like true crime podcasts. So this is all about like falling into that world, I think, kind of in like.
Yeah.
But tell us about the show and, you know, working on it.
I mean, it's a wild ride. You know what I mean? Like the actual plot for the show, people are like, so what kind of like show is it? But I'm like, well, it's like a true crime kind of thriller and it's kind of gory in certain ways, but it's a dark comedy and it's quite funny, and people are like, I don't get it. And like it really is hard to explain until you watch it, and it's just wild. Like when I was reading the scripts for it, I kept being like calling my agents like, I know I'm not in the next episode, but I need to get it. I need to know what happens next. Like I'm so on edge. Because it's just so wild. And Craig Rosenberg, who wrote it, created it, and like show ran it, he like a lot of the wild stuff that's happening actually happened to him. Like actually is
really?
A real like from his real life.
Oh, so it is based on a true story.
Wow. Yeah. Like certain, you know, elements of it are like big elements. Right. Like it's kind of nuts when he told us like
we're waiting around for our time to go onto set, and he's like telling us like where certain things came from, and we're like, you've got to be kidding me that this, like, his actual, I'm not going to spoil anything, and you understand it in the first episode, but yeah. You know, part of it is about like Ava and Nate, Kaylee Cuoco and Chris Messina, they hire a plumber, and then he ends up being a serial killer. And then basically the show goes from there with what they're going to do with that information and stuff. But that's true. That part is true.
Oh my God.
Like, Craig had a plumber who was like working on their house for like 3 months or something every day, all the time in their house. And then one day didn't come, and their boss, like, they called, like, where is he? And he's like, oh, I'm going to come and do the work. And then he's like, oh yeah, he killed 20 ladies. Like, it was like,
holy
shit. Like, isn't that insane?
My God.
Whoa. So
this is pulled
the ass crack of doom. Jesus.
It's nuts.
Wow.
So I was like, even more fascinated. Cause I mean, the story is very interesting, and it's very like in the zeitgeist of like true crime and people's obsession with it. And like,
yeah.
Sort of how we sort of, the more, when we listen to true crime and all these things, we kind of forget that people are actually being killed. You know, it becomes this entertainment thing. And it's very, it kind of is like a satire on that, where, you know, we go so deep into it that you kind of, like, that's why it's funny, is that you kind of forget that there are people being killed along the way.
Totally.
So, yeah. And I mean, again, like, of course, the serial killer is like hot. So it makes it really easy for us to dive into that, right?
Yeah, I like that approach, because yeah, we've been this, you know, entertainment true crime wave. It's been around forever, obviously. Like, there's many shows.
Yeah, it ebbs and flows over time.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a million cop shows, whatever, all that stuff. Yeah. But it's I think we're all like looking at it from this different perspective, where it's like, oh right, like, what's the morality of this exactly? So I think it's fun to take a funny look at it, but also it's like, holy shit, I didn't realize that part was true. That's fucking
crazy. Yes, it's wild.
Can you imagine? Oh my God. And they've already been in your house for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, what? So they were just like legit doing like legit plumbing work while serial killing?
He's an actual plumber.
Gotta make a living.
Yeah,
gotta
exactly.
make a living to about, make a killing.
What were they doing during the day, these guys? Like, yeah, I guess they had a day job.
A lot of all of them have day jobs. Fucking what is his name? Dahmer worked in a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
So really?
Yeah. Oh, I just ate that chocolate, right?
Yeah. Right? I just had a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer like on the Lucy chocolate line, like eating guts. Like,
I mean, that's probably how the skills transferred.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, like, Tess and I were really involved in the Free Britney thing.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
And I think like it was similar in the way that oftentimes it was like reality was stranger than fiction. You know, we would find ourselves in situations where we'd be like, how the fuck is this actually happening to us? So I can see that. I think it's like interesting to turn that into, you know, something like this, where it's like, yeah, this is just a real experience someone had. Like, this is not even a joke.
And there's a couple other things that I won't say, because if people haven't watched or whatever, but like, there's a lot of controversial bits, and some of them also are ripped from his life. So it's like, he was like, well, I'm justified in writing it because this actually happened. So it's fine. But you know, like, it was a really fun show to work on, because Craig's phenomenal to work with and work for. But like, Alex Buono was executive producer and directing, and he did Russian Doll. He's done a bunch of SNL stuff. So like, the environment was very much like, they loved comedy. Cause I got on set and I was like, oh my gosh, like Kaylee Cuoco, Chris Messina, Tom Bateman, these like huge stars, right? Like Annabelle Dexter Jones, who I was in the same episodes with, she's on Succession. And I'm like, hi guys, I've done some, you know, some things. I was on Degrassi, you know? So like, it was very intimidating at first. And then everyone was so welcoming and so lovely. And then all of the like production was all about comedy. Like, Craig was like, I watched all your stand-up. That's why I hired you. And then we would go on to set.
Yes.
And he's like, I would like improvise something. He's like, yes, more of that. Give us more. And like, some
Hell
of the stuff
yeah.
is just like wildly different from what was written. And he was all about it. So like, it was an absolute dream job for, I mean, it's funny because I started acting in drama.
But like, since I started doing comedy and people kind of know me in that way, they don't think of me as being able to do drama. And so when I get to do drama, it's very fun because you dive into it and it's sort of different from like my regular life in certain ways. But when I get to do comedy, it's literally like just like hanging out with pals. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I just got totally. To say literally whatever I wanted. He's like, there is nothing that is too much. And we were like, are you sure? And he's like, 100%. Let's go.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, I know. It was dream job. Like, and some of the stuff we said, I was like, oh my God, are you okay with that? They're like, this is the best. Now do it again with the German accent. You're like, what? Like, it's just, yeah. They were bananas for it. It was amazing. Yeah, yeah, it was great.
That's so fun. So yeah. You're telling us we need to update our stand-up. I'm just like imagining, because every time I put something on there, I'm like, no one's seeing this. And then you're like, oh, someone is seeing this.
I know. Do you guys ever do this? For, like, sometimes when I have like an audition or a general meeting or something, I'll go and like Google myself to be like, what are people mm-hmm. seeing? Because oh, God. Like, you kind of forget oh, yeah. what's out there.
Yeah. Ooh, so I should. I haven't done it in a minute.
Shift this around. Yeah, yeah.
I should. Well, and I think there are, my husband is good at that, like SEO stuff, but like, I think I don't do it because I wouldn't know how to remedy it if I saw something that upset me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, there's just, yeah, like a headshot of me from like 2008 yeah. is the first picture. It's like, how do I get rid of that?
How do I reorder that? How do I you just start so posting like, inundating the internet with more like, I should alpha headshot, like words underneath it, like 17 different pictures so those show up more often. That's what you do.
Okay.
You delete it. That's actually really helpful. Yeah. That's actually really
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah.
I haven't actually done everybody. That. I've just heard that, but I feel like that makes sense.
So
for me, it's mostly like what I post on my own website. Like I often post like stand-up, like my clips or whatever, but if someone's like, wants to hire me for like a youth empowerment, like speaker, I go onto my website and like rearrange my clips so that like
oh, that's
talking
smart.
About like, you know, dirty talk in the bedroom is a little bit lower down the line than like me speaking about like positive stuff. So
that's smart. Yeah.
That is smart. Yeah.
Yeah. You do that? You talk to kids?
What's that?
You do like you work as a speaker talking to kids?
Oh yes. Sorry, I was like, no, the dirty talk is not to kids. It's that.
I'm like, you do that?
Yeah, I was like, wow. Before I got into entertainment, like as far as like comedy and acting is concerned, I had a whole other like life where I was a professional soccer player, I was a wedding planner, I was a certified professional life coach, and I did motivational speaking and worked with executive women and stuff. So I did a lot of speaking stuff or hosting big, like, you know, conferences and stuff like that before. I don't really like actively try to get that stuff necessarily anymore, but oftentimes it'll like people will come through and just ask if I still do it. So that's why things aren't really geared towards that usually. That's why I've got to shift things around when it does come
totally.
I feel like when you're like a Renaissance person like that too, I don't know, tell me if this has been true for you, but I feel like to you, there's a continuity and it all kind of makes sense. Like probably to you, there's a lot of similarity between playing soccer and acting, but to an outsider, you're like, what? But to you, you're like, yeah.
You're like what? It, so what is your brand? Yeah, so
that works.
I don't know what your brand is.
It's not
I know this whole like branding question. Yeah. And it's so funny because I'm like, someone was like, once like, you've got to like make your Instagram really like cohesive and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. No, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm going to post what I want when I feel like it, like whatever. Yeah. Because the brand is just me. And like, we're all like complicated, multi-layered different people. So like, why am I trying to just show one aspect of myself is kind of my feeling. But I definitely think like, for me, I was authentically like living my life as a soccer player. Right. And I think that part of it was, I always have been a performer. And soccer and playing sport is very much a performance in a lot of ways. And it's about like individual mindset and also a team mindset, which I think is very good for like stand up, for acting. Yeah. Like we're all part of this together. We're trying to make our best product, whether that's a winning game or a great sketch show or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's just made me like a hard worker too. You know, like I know I'm not starting if I didn't work hard enough. And if I work harder, there's a better chance I can start and be on like that starting 11, just like with stand-up. I mean, and acting, it's not the same where like anything, you work hard, you're going to get something. That's not necessarily how it happens, but certainly the harder, if you work hard and you love what you're doing, the chances are if something comes around, you're more ready for it at very least. Right. Which is the whole goal, that you can like come out running. Right. So Okay. But yeah, I think a lot of people are like, you did what? Like, what is your life? How old are you? I'm like, bitch is old. Okay. So
yeah. I've done a lot of things.
And it's also like Gina Davis went to the Olympics for archery, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of crossover, I think, in it's even the things of like, it's totally like we're always reinventing the wheel. We're always having to start from the beginning again. You get a big gig. Mm-hmm. And then when it's done, you're auditioning again. You go to a big festival and then it's done and you're doing open mics again. Like we have no, what is the word? Like, it's like, there's no, there's no retirement. Yeah. There's also like no security necessarily, right? Like, oh, if I show up, I get paid. Like, you just have to keep, but it's like something you do because you're passionate about it, not because it pays the bills from day one. Which is such a risk, but worth it.
And I think that's another thing people don't get when they're not in the entertainment industry. Is like, they're like, oh, actors make so much money. Writers make so much money. And it's like, yeah, but like, we have to squirrel away that money until God knows when. Like, we get that money, but then like, we don't fucking know. It could be months, years, who knows when it's coming.
Yeah. And it's also not as much as you think once it's like all the fees get taken out.
Everyone gets their piece of the pie.
And tax and stuff. You'd be shocked at how quickly...
I feel like I've been kind of struggling lately because like this has always been what I want to do, you know, and I didn't know if stand-up was exactly it, but like I found that and then it was like, oh, this is the thing, right? And it's like you go for like, I mean, it's been 15 years and I'm finding like my motivation, I don't think it's necessarily my motivation to be lacking as much, but it's just like the exhaustion, you know, from like feeling like I've like really put my all out there and I'm not getting back what I think I deserve at this point. So I'm kind of just like a little like, oh God, like really? Like, man, I keep doing this at this level and still get the same thing. So it can be hard.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No,
lately I've been so like you're preaching to the choir because I feel like there's been all this big stuff that's happened and it's been great and phenomenal. And also, like, I just opened 2 days ago, I opened for Bill Burr, right? And I was like, this is huge. Like, this is one of the people who's like, he's doing stadium. He did like
One of the biggest stand-ups in the world.
Top of the world.
Yeah. And then like yesterday I just had a day where I was like, I don't even know if this is like what gives me passion anymore. But like, I think it's like what I need is a sabbatical. I need to like give a break.
Yeah.
So I can like, cause there's so much more like, you know, life is, we have to like work so hard on it, but like you don't have anything to give if you don't have any life. Right. Like, you need life in order to like give something to stand up. You need things to talk about. You need perspective. You need to open your mind and get outside your box and whatnot. But like, it is so draining. And we're always told, like, you got to hustle. You got to keep going. You can never step away. But I think that that's actually just like a crock of shit. Right. 100%. Like, you actually are so much better if you step away sometimes when you need it and like let yourself. And it's not like, oh, poor me. It sucks. I have to take a break. I have to take a mental break. Like, doing it before you need that so you can be like, I'm just taking a fucking vacation. Like, I'm just going and living my life and like enjoying the fruits of my labor. And I'm going to come back refreshed. And like, I don't know. There's just some, it feels like we need to be in like a long, flowy, like, you know, pashmina that's like blowing in the wind. So you be like, I'm fabulous and I deserve it.
Yeah.
How I live my life. So you can step back and be like, now I'm fully replenished and I'm ready to take on the world again versus like, I'm going to maybe like turn all my lights off and like stare at a candle for 3 days, you know, like that's when we should be taking those breaks earlier.
Totally.
A 1,000,000%. I'm reading Jenny O'Dell's new book right now, which I loved her first one, but this one's about time. She's really interesting writer, but she talks about like our conception of time and how tight it is to this sort of like very matrixy kind of idea that it's linear and that, you know, I mean, the idea of four seasons, that is something that we take as like a given, but that was really something like there's four seasons in Europe. And then that's why we all think that it should be snowy at Christmas. There's a very definitive winter, summer and fall. There's places in the world that have seven seasons. There's places in the world that have three. Like it's, and she's like, okay, if a clock is a piece that shows how much time has passed, then like, so is this branch, because this branch will show how much time has passed when leaves grow and then part of it decays and then part of it. And I was like, oh, that's like, it was very sort of like refreshing to me to think about like ungluing myself from this like time matrix that doesn't exist and has been totally superimposed on us and isn't actually really a fully representative idea of like time and like what we're living through.
Yeah.
I love that. Because, I get so obsessed with the time aspect of it, especially being a woman. Obviously, we all can, identify with that. Like, all right, well, you're done.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Put them out to pasture. So, I like that a lot. I think it's like an ongoing thing, and it's good to remember that. And I think it is something as you get older that you get more comfortable with, because you're just like, oh, yeah, this is just... Like, I'm still the same person. I just have different needs, or I have to replenish myself in different ways.
Yeah. Or like, this is where I am kind of right now. And like, a year is fake. A month is fake. A week is fake. Yeah. It's all fake. It's where you are.
It's all fake, man.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all fake. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Aisha.
Yes. Sultry.
Love it.
Okay. We're going to play a game to get to know you a little bit better. It's called Who, What, When, Where, Why.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, why?
Okay. There are no wrong answers either, by the way.
Okay.
Who's the best that ever was?
Oof. I'd have to say Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That girl.
That'd be forever.
Right?
We are not respecting her in any way. Mm-hmm. And she is
starting the show, too.
I'm like, she's still here for us. She's still mothering us. She's trying her best. And she, like, whew, Mother Nature. We need to really, maybe it's because I'm a mom now. I'm like, there really is a Mother Nature. This is a real thing. Like, I'm like, she mothering us. We're in her womb sometimes. And we're trying to, like, be mean to her. But she's still like, I got you guys. I got you guys. So the best it ever was, I would have to say, yeah, Mother Nature. She's doing her thing. We're all disrespecting her. And she's still gentle parenting us.
One big ass giving tree out there.
Yeah,
I know. Push us out the nest a little bit.
What's your favorite way to hang out with Mother Nature?
I love a good I used to love a good solo picnic. Anybody? Yeah, I used to now I don't really get to do a lot of solo stuff because I have two young children, but I used to, when I lived on my own, like take a little basket, find myself a little green area, and just spread out my little blanket and just sit with no phone, maybe a book, and enjoy maybe a little charcuterie, maybe a little bubbly water, and just enjoy being in nature. And I try to, on the regular, hug trees, which sounds so true, but like,
oh, I love it.
It's one of the, anybody who's listening, if you haven't hugged a tree and you're like, that was weird, just trust me, just go to a tree, give it a hug, and you will feel like this warm energy that will I grew up in Winnipeg in Canada, which is like minus 40 in the winters. If you hug a tree in the middle of the winter, it's warm. It's like the weirdest thing.
Oh,
it's just like they have like life always in them, and it's just always there. It's very comforting. It's like connected to the earth, connected to the sky. It's Mother Nature hugging you back. So have a picnic outside and then some tree hugs.
Oh my God. Perfect weather for that right now too. That sounds delightful. One time I was hiking in Costa Rica and our tour guide was like, the trees want to absorb your stress. So when you're walking, just let your stress out and the trees will take it in. And again, kind of hokey, but whenever I'm like stressed out about something, if I'm around trees, I just try to like,
oh, that's a good idea. I like that. It's like, you're giving me air and I'm giving you my stress.
Well, not a great deal.
They'll turn it into oxygen.
Exhale. Yeah. They need it. That's right. What it is, your exhale. When I first moved to LA, and I'm like, I moved here on my own. I was like, I got my place, and I had never had anxiety in my life. I'd never had I was fine with it. Now, different story. But like, I think I had like the startings of a panic attack and I didn't know what was happening. So I was like, okay. And I started trying to like deep breathe and I was like, let me meditate, let me drink water. Like I could not figure out what was going on. and my heart was bumping, and I was home in this like apartment that had no furniture by myself. And in like an act of desperation, I went outside and like literally put my face into a tree and just started crying. And I was like, ah, okay. And then I was fine. But it was literally like, I was like, I have nothing. I need Mother Nature to take care of me. And your girl came through. Like, it's unbelievable what a tree can do.
Yeah, I think you I forget this all the time, how much that can affect my mood. And like, you think that just the simple act from like literally going from inside of my place to outside wouldn't make that big of a difference, but it does. It's like, as soon as I'm out there amongst the, you know, especially this area, we have so many beautiful like wildflowers and just natural, you know, foliage everywhere, that I'm like, immediately my mood changes. And just like, if you go sit in the grass at a park and like look up, I'm like, you just put yourself in like a totally different place.
Totally.
I just did this like really long train ride from Portland down to Santa Cruz, which was really great. And it was like all through the mountains, through Mount Shasta and everything.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It was ultimately delayed 9.5 hours.
Trains love to do that shit.
Yeah, but it was like honestly not that big a deal because we were just like in the mountains in the middle of nowhere. I was just like, oh, I'm just like looking at a river. I wish we were moving, but I can't be that upset right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. Were you stuck in the car?
Or were
you able to get outside? Wow, that's a great attitude. I would not have been.
9 hours? That's a long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was like, the delay? When you said 9 hours. Yeah, what was the delay?
They put the wrong kind of engine on our train. They put a commuter engine, which is only good for like short distances, instead of an engine that would go from Seattle to Los Angeles. So that's we had amazing. To like wait at this like rural stop in Oregon for them to bring a new engine.
To get a different engine.
Yeah, to get a
that's
different
so
engine.
That's so funny. That's
and funny. it was really funny. And at one point, one of the conductors was like, you know, don't think of it as a delay. Think of it as more time on a train.
Yeah. Were people around you starting to go a little like feral?
I mean, people, it was, but it was also like, luckily the delay started at like 11 p.m. Like, so it was kind of an overnight. Like, everyone was just like, fuck this, I guess we just sleep, which was fine because then the next morning we had to watch the sunrise over like Mount Shasta and shit. It just
amazing.
Like took forever to get home. But they also, the next day, because it took so long, they made us free train stew, and they kept coming around. They're like, we have stew for everybody if they want it.
So that's so like, bizarre. The train is like very old-timey.
Yeah. No, I felt like
a bindle. Like, do they make it out of a boot? It sounds
free train stew.
It was like stew on top of mashed potatoes, and I was like, I guess I'll just eat this while I'm riding the rails. I felt like a full-on bindleware and hobo, just like trying to get from town to town.
Like your gloves cut off. Off, you know what I mean? Like, a little hat off.
Exactly. It's like, I've got things to trade if you guys are. It was so funny. God. So it was just a bunch of us just like eating stew on this train.
I mean, they do. I remember when I was trying over the holidays trying to get a train to like Seattle from Olympia or something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was like supposed to come at 11 p.m. and then it got delayed to midnight and then it got delayed to 1 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, oh, by the way, the train's going to get here, but they're going to have to stop at the next place and wait for a new crew because they're not supposed to work anymore. And I was what? It's just like y'all are operating on a very different level than
it was real wild. I mean, honestly, I 10 out of 10 would do it again, would hope to not run into that delay again. But it was
maybe next time you can be like, I don't mean to intrude, but if you can make sure you have the right engine, that would be awesome.
I don't want to like micromanage. Don't want to micromanage your situation, but this did happen to me before. So I need to know. I am getting completely refunded. So I got free stew on top of a free.
And shit. Your trip.
And they emailed us to tell us that. They like didn't, we didn't have to bother them. They were like, so we know your train was delayed.
Money we're and gonna, stew. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Amtrak.
I would be so salty because I'd be like, this isn't, is this vegetable stock in the stew? There's beef in the stew. Great. Oh, I can't even enjoy the stew.
I thought of you, Tess.
I'm stewing in my anger.
Yeah. Not a vegetarian friendly stew, I would guess.
No, it was not. This was a stew that would only a brewer. a boomer would love for sure.
Some of the raccoon we hit on the way here.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
That's mystery meat.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, Aisha, next big question. What are you doing later?
Well, oh my gosh, actually, it's not exciting to anyone else but me, but it is exciting. I became a citizen last week, officially.
Congratulations.
Welcome.
Thank you. So yes. I have to go and change everything that connects me to anything in this country to let them know that I'm a citizen, because if you don't tell them when I travel, I could get in trouble. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. things won't link up and work. But I don't have my passport yet for here because I just got it. So it's a very interesting country. I have to, in order to change certain things, I need a passport. But in order to get my passport, I need to bring in this. Like, it's like this long chain of things that have to happen.
Right.
So I have to actually start that chain reaction so that I can not get harassed, even though I am a citizen, for being, I'm like, they're like, but you're Canadian and born in Nigeria and you don't have a passport here. I'm like, no, but I have this big certificate with my face on it that says I'm a citizen. So they're like, yeah, but we don't have a box to tick for that. And you're like, but this is literally the thing right, that says here. I'm allowed to be here. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
I just did a commercial and it was the first commercial I had done where I had to check the box of a citizen and put my documents in. But my social security card still has a caveat on it where it's like, you can have this number and you can work, but you're not a citizen. And we have to stamp that on there. So technically I can't show that to be for my work, but I don't have any other way to prove. So I brought literally my citizenship card and was so take a picture. I don't know who you guys send that to. Because they take your green card once you get your citizenship. So I have no way to prove that I'm allowed to So yeah, it's a very, I have to figure that all out.
Did you get your passport photos and stuff already? You have to go do that?
I have an appointment next month is the earliest I could get an appointment, but they do it all there. So they'll take the picture, they'll put it in. I'm going to get it expedited because we are traveling soon. I mean, I have a Canadian passport, so I can travel with that, but I also have a known traveler number, but that's connected to my alien registration card. Very all convoluted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to do
that. This government loves the Catch-22. So well. Yeah. Oh.
I had to do the expedite passport thing recently too, because mine expired and I'm going out of the country. And they do with renewals, you can send it in yourself. You have to take the photo. So I tried to take selfies and then use a filter to look better. But I could not get the right size. I could not print it in the right size, obviously. So let me just tell you, the picture that I took versus the one I ended up getting at UPS, not exactly the same. I was like, this is such a bad photo. I look so bad in this new passport photo. I hate it so much. But I mean, it's the only option I had. So I sent it off and we'll get it back soon. Hopefully.
Yes. It's fucked up that they won't let you smile in your passport photo, because I have resting bitch face, so I have to smile or I look really angry. And all of my passport photos look like mugshots.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. I don't think they said that to me because I was smiling, but it did not help. So
let you keep your smile?
They did. They didn't say anything about it, at least at UPS.
When they ask me to, I always find it's like if you're smiling, it's hard to undo the smile. Mm-hmm. So I go from smiling and then I'm like, I'm trying so hard not to that I look weird.
I also just don't I don't have a natural smile when someone asks me to, so it's not good all around.
Now I'm testing my smile in the Zoom. I'm what's the most smiling?
Yeah, what's the most you get away with?
Excited face in photos, open mouth. That looks better for me.
Got a little one on my license.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a smirk.
I just snuck it in last
California
minute.
California will let you. Oh, yeah. I have a huge smile on my license. They'll let you show teeth on your license.
Yeah,
But passport, it's rough out there. My green card picture, I look like an actual serial killer. Like, I was somehow looking down, and then she took it from above. So I was I look like the Grinch, but as a black woman. It's very, I'm glad it's gone. I'm glad that hurt.
Next time you're auditioning, if you're auditioning for the remake of The Grinch, though, you can be
still have a picture of it. I'll just be I'm not even going to send in a tape. Just have a look at this. Okay. It all has a green tape because it's your green card. It's perfect.
That's amazing. Oh, man. So paperwork. Come on. good.
Yeah, that's it's a fun. The excitement of my life right now. That is exciting, though.
Yeah,
fun paperwork with a fun end.
Yeah. To a good end.
Where I can vote and like go to protests and stuff and not worry about accidentally getting arrested and thrown into deportation. So that's good.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. And like, don't separate me from my children. Actually, you know what's funny? When I did the test, it's so like you have to go into someone's office, just like you and a person, and you have to answer all these questions. And one of the questions is, will you bear arms for this country? And you have to say yes. And like, I grew up in Canada where like, you know, God, I've never, people don't walk around with guns. Like, it's not a thing, you know, but, and then I was like, I asked my husband when I was filling out the paperwork, who's a lawyer. I'm like, do I have to say yes? He's like, just say yes now. Once you're a citizen, you can always like do whatever. But like, it was a very weird moment where I'm like, I'm not sure I would bear arms for anything because I just feel like that's not me. But I had to say yes in this interview. And then the guy stopped and he goes, really? Really? And I was like, but he was like, it was so funny because he's like, I was like, well, yeah, like my kids are here, whatever. I said to him, like, my kids are here, whatever it would take for me to stay in this country, that's what I'm going to do. And he goes,
yeah.
You would be on that picket line. You'd go back to Canada so fast. And we were like dying laughing because I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
But it was like,
I did not realize that was a question. That's insane.
It's a question. So he's like, you just have to, like, you say yes. And like, that's your intention. Like, you know, I am American. I will be here. I will uphold the Constitution, obviously, and all those things. But like, I think there's a lot of people who are American who were born here and whose families are from here for a long, you know, many generations who also would be surprised to know that's a question or be surprised that that's an expectation. So
well, and like, it's very bizarre because like, obviously that shouldn't at all be contingent on your citizenship. And it's like almost asking you to defy the First Amendment in order to show how horny you are for the second one.
Yeah. America.
It's also just like, it feels like an excuse for them to be like, so we can draft you at any, like, they're like going to show up and be like, sorry, you said yes.
So
there's other questions where it's like, if you will serve the military in a non-combative role, if asked, you have to say that you would do that. For men, you have to say that you would be drafted. Like, it's like all these things that I think they're letting you know, like, this is a possibility. But then even my guy was like, as soon as you're done, as soon as you pass, we can't do anything. He's like, once you leave this office, you're never going to hear from us again. There's nothing we can do. So he's like, you just have to say yes.
Like, I'm just giving you the real shit.
He's like, do you owe any taxes? And I was like, actually, I think that we just did our taxes. So he goes, look, I don't know anything. We're not connected to the IRS. You can say yes. You can say no. We don't know. He's like, tell your friends. We don't have any connections. Tell them that. Tell us no. You might owe them. It was so funny. He was just like over it. He was just like, I just want to pass you, you know, like,
I'm meeting my friend at Subway for lunch. Can we just finish?
Yeah. Yeah. You seem cool. Come on in. Yeah.
I love how much he loved Larry David. And then I knew I was going to be in this. That was done.
When cool people like infiltrate shitty systems, it's really appreciated.
It is. Oh, yeah. We need for sure. Please, thank you for your service, sir. Yeah.
Okay, Aisha, when is the best time to wake up? I know with kids, this is a different answer.
This is a beautiful question for someone with kids. It's like, when is the right time? Not when I'm waking up. I'll tell you that right now. I would say a good like 8:30, 9 a.m. is like the sweet spot to wake up because it's still a respectable morning time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Businesses are working and people are on their way to work. So it's a respectable time, but it's like the sun's up, you know, like it's morning. It's not like my husband gets up at 4 a.m. I'm like, that's nighttime. That's morning. That's nighttime.
Yeah. No, that's
night. So yeah. I used to set an alarm at 9 o'clock when I was, you know, staying up until whatever time and having to set an alarm for 9 o'clock. And it said, get up and have a great day. And I was always like, I'm gonna, you know, but like you can't before 8:39, if you have to get up at that point, it's not a get up for a great day. It's like, bitch, you did something. You need to wake up and sort your shit out. You know, like it's like, God, you owe the world a little something here. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think 8:39 is the perfect, that's the sweet spot. That's a good answer. And the other thing I like about 8:39 is it does give you that wiggle room of like, look, if you stay up a little bit too late watching TV, you're going to be okay at 9.
Yeah, oh, totally.
It's not going to ruin your day.
Honestly, that's like when I wake up no matter what I've done the night before. I could have been up till 3 a.m. watching reality TV, or I could have gone to bed at 11. And it's still somehow. Yeah. I'm still
8:39.
And then I'm like, how did I get 9 hours of sleep and I'm still tired? That's not good.
I know. What time do you guys, so you wake up around 8:39. What time do you guys actually wake up like normally? Well, I've been getting up really early recently. I'm on like a 6 a.m.
Okay.
And yeah.
I love that you're so apologetic about it. You're like,
oh, I am. It's more from like, just, yeah, it's not like I'm excited about it, but I naturally wake up at like, 8 or 8:30. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. That's probably about right. I have like an older dog that wakes me up usually at like 2 o'clock and like 6 to go outside. And then we just sleep until like 8:30 or 9. And that's like,
I will sometimes say, for like, this is before the pandemic because it was at a yoga studio that closed, but I used to have this hack. I would wake up at 5:30, go to yoga, do a whole yoga class, come home, take a shower, get back in bed, and then wake up again at 9. And it was fucking awesome because I wouldn't even have like remembered going to yoga.
Yeah. Like, was that a dream? Like a dream at that point.
Go?
Yeah. That's it was awesome. Like literally I was working out in my sleep. It was awesome.
I love that.
That is amazing.
I love that. I wake up now at like 6 or 6:30 because that's when our kids start to get up around that time. But I wake up now so I can run on a treadmill for like 30 to 40 minutes. But it's really just so I can watch uninterrupted television. It's just the only time that I have where like no one, like I'm like, I'm working out. This is important for like mental and physical health. And then I shut the door and I'm like, Succession. Like I'm like, or like, like Sunset, you know? And it's funny because it's like, no matter how long I'm in there, like sometimes I like stretch, but I'll keep watching. And then every once in a while, my husband will come in and he's like, are you done? And I realized like, I've just been standing, my workout's done. I've just been standing like riveted with my iPad, just standing on the treadmill at that point, watching TV. So, but I think that's the only reason I'm able to like wake up so early is because there's a promise of watching my show.
Yeah. That makes sense to tie it to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Something fun. Yeah. Like recently, I have an older dog too. I've been waking up early with him and like, I like to read. So I'm like, oh, I'll light a candle and just like have an hour where I just like read.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at nice. You. I love that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
What, how old are your kids?
I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Well, almost 4. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be waking up early for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. This, I mean, waking up for me at like 6 and 6:30 is like a sleep in because I used to wake up at like 4:30 or 5. Mm-hmm. And like before that, I was waking up every couple of hours to breastfeed. So like this for me, I'm like, I'm cruising into my 8:30, 9 o'clock, like retirement. Right. That's wake like, up that's, time, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. That's not bad. We have kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember like when you're a kid, like it's so fun to wake up. I don't know when the shift happens. Like maybe it's when you're a teenager, but I remember because my brother is really close in age to me. And I remember like him and I wait. It was like Christmas morning every morning. It was like we would just, I would go out of this room and we'd like wait for our parents to get up because it was just so exciting.
Well, you just like, have so much energy. You're like,
yes,
just like bolting out of bed.
You get to nap and people do things for you. Like it's like no wonder. But like, yeah, my son wakes up and he's like, we have like this light that changes color so that when it's green, that's when he's supposedly allowed to like, the morning has begun and that's when he can come out. But when it's yellow, it's like, it goes, it's like red from like his bedtime until a certain time when he's sleeping. Then it goes yellow where he's like allowed to like read books and he just loves looking at books for like hours on end. So he can like sit in his room, he has a little flashlight, he can like read. And then when it turns green, he can come out. But lately he's been coming out and I'll be like, is your hatch like green? And he's like, I don't know, something happened to it. It's gray. And it's because he was blind and like turned it or like unplugged. He's like, I woke up and it was like this. I didn't know if it was time to go. And he's like, but I'm awake, Mama. Like, let's go. Let's do things. And I'm like, man.
If you're already having a discussion, you're fucked. That's
it's all over. He's not going back in there. Yeah.
He's got the plan already. There's a schematic involved.
It's so funny. It's hilarious. The things he like lies about, I'll be like, how do all these books get off the top shelf onto the ground? I don't know. Maybe they fell off when I was sleeping. I'm like, I have a monitor. I watched you climb the shelf.
Oh,
Kids
lying is so funny.
Maybe the bond is broken.
Yeah, they just are like...
It's great. It's worth a shot, right? Like, if you're a kid, like, why not? You know, what's the risk?
I love it. I love his little lies. It's amazing.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back. Everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Aisha.
And we are going to do lady problems. Send us your lady problems. We need them. We want them. Give us a phone call. 323-6-BUT-30. Or you can write into us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
This one's written. I'll read this. It's a little bit long, so. I have a bit of a lady problem that I'm not sure how to navigate. I know we love deets, so I'll try to add as many as I can think of. So let's start with a bit of a background. My husband and I have been together for 12 years, married for 5. We're high school sweethearts. That means we've also known each other's families for 12 years, starting when we were 14 and 16. His family is who we're focusing on for today. Mom and dad, brother and sister-in-law, and sister and brother-in-law. See, when I met him, my husband was Mormon like the rest of his family. I was a recovering Catholic. By the time we graduated high school, both of us were atheists and wanted nothing to do with organized religion. Right off the bat, his parents weren't huge fans because I was from outside their religion. For example, his dad didn't acknowledge me until we'd been dating an entire year. When I think he realized I wasn't going anywhere. Whenever we'd hang out with them, they were putting very big pressure on us to go to church, to pray with them, go to rituals and ceremonies and things we were just not interested in. That went on for years and years, even during our engagement, when I would get messages from his mom trying to guilt me into converting because if I didn't, we, quote, wouldn't be able to be sealed in the temple. Mormons are sealed to their partners for eternity so they can hang out in the afterlife, but you got to do it in a special ritual in the temple. I did not care about that. And also, more importantly, we had asked her a million times to please stop doing this shit. Eventually, 8 years in, they stopped asking because they realized we were hanging out with them less and less. I mean, once we were adults and didn't live at home anymore, we rarely saw them, and I think it bummed them out. In fact, I was the one pressuring my husband to make an effort to see them because I could tell they did love and miss us. Eventually, we got into a rhythm of seeing them on big holidays and their birthdays, and everything was fine. However, when we would hang out with sister and brother-in-law a lot more, because they never tried to pressure us religiously and were also fun to play board games with. We also love our nieces and nephews and hang out with them when we can. Anyway, over the last 3-ish years, we've come to a sad conclusion about mom and dad. Through talking with sister and brother-in-law, seeing mom and dad every so often, and getting input from brother, it's become pretty clear that mom and dad are most likely moving toward a divorce. To sum up shortly, mom took a lot of dad's money and lost it in a Bitcoin scam that was also that was also a years-long emotional relationship. There's another detail, more popcorn. She said, curse the QAnon to Bitcoin scam pipeline.
Yeah, that's real. Damn.
She's stepped down on him quite a few times in their 30-year relationship, and she's been forgiven through intricate church rituals. Oh, God.
Wow.
But this one seems different. Dad's looking sadder, thinner, and she's becoming more and more selfish. We can all see it, and it breaks our hearts. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. So for Christmas last year, Dad surprised us all. He's buying us all plane tickets to Hawaii and renting a house on the beach. He has it for 15 days, but we don't have to go the whole time. Just any part of that time would be great. He even gave a little presentation on how he wanted all 12 of us to be together as a family and that he's hiring a family photographer while going to a luau, a whole extravaganza. And oh boy, I was excited. I immediately was so grateful and stoked and started talking with Dad about logistics. My husband, on the other hand, is a very underwhelming response. I got frustrated that he wasn't excited and mentioned that I thought it was kind of ungrateful since gifts has always been mom and dad's love language. It was clear to me that they just missed us and were trying to reconnect with the family in the best way they could think of. almost said, okay. My husband has a different perspective that as soon as he said it, changed my whole viewpoint. He points out that every time we see them, they're more snippy with each other or they distract themselves with other people. They don't talk to each other. Mom is always listening to QAnon on her AirPods, scrolling on her phone. Dad is focusing on the grandbabies a lot. So my husband thinks that this trip is the last hurrah. One last family trip so they can tell us they're finally getting divorced. But we also have new family pics to remember the good times. And reasonably, he says it's difficult to get excited about his parents' impending divorce and the aftermath. Now, the divorce isn't really the problem because we think they would both be better off without each other. But the closer it gets, the more we dread spending 7 days living with these people, plus the giant elephant of ending an era. And my husband doesn't want to look at excursions and stuff because the whole thing is bumming him out, which bums me out. I'm trying to go to Hawaii on our own at a different time, not in this economy, plus the tickets are already bought. So my long-winded question is, what do we do? How do we hang out with these people? Sharing a house, a vehicle, and meals for an entire week. How do we respond when they admit divorce? Do I grab a nibbling and run to the nearest distraction? For fuck's sake, it's driving me nuts. Wow. Well, thank you. That's a lot of detail. Wow. We're here for it.
Damn.
Can we maybe just write a TV series based on this question?
This is.
Yes.
That's how we answer it.
This is the next season of White Lotus. So.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. It really is.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't see the Mormon family on White Lotus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I mean, okay. First of all, I feel for the dad.
Yeah.
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 And I feel like
cult is real.
Oh my God. The QAnon cult is real. And like, it's such a dad thing, like the presentation and like, this is your father-in-law's like deal. Yeah. So I think framing it in that way, maybe talking to your husband like that, like it's not really about the divorce or even them as a couple. It's like his dad mm-hmm. has something he's really excited about. And like, I don't know, maybe since his marriage is falling apart, like he wants to focus on the other parts of his family that he mm-hmm. feels connected to. Like maybe it's less the end of an era and more like someone who is facing like losing their partner of a really long time and wants to know that like they have their kids and their other family around them. Cause like, I mean, I will say, like, my parents are divorced, and, like, it's really important to, I was a kid, my parents got divorced, but, like, you are going to have to now, like, learn how to manage, like, two different, right. It's, like, how when you get married, you have in-laws, like, then that exponentially increases when you have divorced parents, because then that's two different people that you need to manage holidays and contact and all that stuff with. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to, like, nurture that relationship, especially the dad seems like the cooler one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's like she squandered, I mean, I don't even know how much, like, but like sounds like probably a good chunk of retirement or something. It's like he's had a lot pulled out from under him in a lot of different ways. Like,
yeah.
And it's cool that he's, I mean, it's kind of cool that he's also put this forward because it's like men of that age too. It's like them being in touch with their emotions and like this is his way of asking for help and to make sure that this is a very vulnerable thing that he's done.
Yeah.
I think too.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think also like it's hard for us even as adults to like reckon with when our parents change or when we see our parents differently, because even as much as like, you know, it's like our constant when we're kids, and I'm sure that you know, it's different for every person, but if you come from a very religious background, I think that's even harder because there's these very hard and fast rules. And I'm sure that maybe they didn't know about all these stepping outs of the mom. So it seemed like they were always within this very secure box of Mormonism. And it was very easy to define them. And it was very easy to know what they wanted or didn't want. So when they shift away from that, I mean, betrayal of a parent from a parent is also very hard to deal with, right? Like when someone cheats on somebody or squanders money or there's just some sort of betrayal. And I think that like, I'm sure, like I feel a lot of sympathy for the dad, because I can't even imagine if you are part of this really strict religion and to then have your wife have to have these rituals to be forgiven over and over, how like that would probably feel shameful and embarrassing. Yeah. And like, maybe he doesn't feel like he fits in or all this kind of stuff. And then to be getting a divorce, which I'm sure I don't understand everything about Mormon culture, but like, I'm sure that would also be a big,
difficult
thing to deal with. Yeah. And so like being, having this community that's almost like part of your like identity shift for him must be very difficult. So this idea of reconnecting with the family and making sure that there's a strong bond, even if they are going to split, I think it's so beautiful and so generous and so wonderful and loving.
Yeah.
That, like it's less about the kids maybe in this, and it's more about the parents, and it seems like the mom isn't engaging so much. So maybe it's more about the dad and finding ways to like support him on this journey. And especially if you have a parent who like wants to be a part of your family and wants to be with your kids and all that kind of stuff, that's such a gift that not everybody has that I think like focusing on that would be helpful. I get it. Mm-hmm. We're all bummed if our parents, like something happens or there's a rift or it's uncomfortable. But as adults, I think it's like, sometimes you just have to swallow hard and it's okay if there's conflict on the trip, just like go and do your best, you know? I mean, that sounds so like flippant, but
no, it's true.
Though. As an adult, I'm like,
it's true.
For others,
well,
you know?
And I think like you and the siblings can like, maybe you guys can have conversations ahead of times about like what your boundaries around what conversations can be on the island and be like, yeah, like, you know, like, it's like you guys have like conversations about what you're cool with, like talking about or not, or if like something starts to escalate, say, okay, cool, we're walking away from this, like, but be like kind of a united front, or at least know that other people have your back, so you're not all just kind of going into this emotionally blind a little bit.
Yeah,
I think would be helpful.
Yeah, I also feel like very strongly that you and your husband need to rent your own car.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah, you need to be able to escape.
Yes. Yeah. I think independence is really important.
He's anxious about it. That's when you are the wife who makes that fucking reservation and forwards him the itinerary. Like, you guys are going to want, and like, and also like, I feel like with your own car, it is Hawaii. And like, even if your husband is feeling anxious about, you don't really need to have a lot of plans ahead of time when you go to Hawaii. Like, everything is awesome. Like, you're just going to be able to like trip around and go to the beach and go get pineapple and like get that fucking car, take breaks, go hang out on the beach alone with your husband a little bit, but definitely give yours, because it is going to be a bit stressful and there you are going to want some autonomy.
Well, and it sounds like they're a good unit, the couple. So that's like the most, like if you have your teammate, you know, I always call my husband, I'm like, he's my super buddy, you know, like we get in difficult situations, we've got each other, we can just go do our own thing. And so it's like, that's also encouraging, is like, you get your own car, you have your own spot, like your room or your whatever, your how you're going to do it. And then, yeah, you go away. You can even go and rent a room somewhere else for a night if you wanted to.
Totally
heated, you know?
Totally.
Or
yeah.
Whatever. I mean, go home like, if you need to.
Yeah. Like you were saying, like, I get it is, it's hard to, see your parents change. And I personally have like a very like panicky reaction when I see things are different or like, some reality I found out that I don't want to, whatever it is, you know, I get very like scared and like, is everything okay with them? I need everything to be okay, because that is like a rock, you know, that makes me nervous if things are changing. But the reality probably is, like we said, that like, it looks like that maybe they are headed toward divorce, and that this is, you know, going to be how stuff is. And it's a good opportunity, you know, it's like a once in a lifetime thing to have all of your family there together, no matter what weird drama might happen. And you are going to have to talk. It's like, not like he's never going to talk to his parents again. So I think I totally get where he's coming from with it. And it is great that he has this, his wife to like help him throughout this. But I just definitely, push him towards it and be like, it is what it is. Like, whatever's going to happen with them is going to happen, but we have the opportunity to be there with the whole family or not. And like, I'd rather be a part of it than not. And I think encouraging him to do so will help. And you don't have to plan excursions. There's so much shit to do last second. It doesn't matter. You don't need to plan it.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of amazing shit.
I'm sure, like, if you're a planner, it's annoying, but like, you'll be fine.
I will say, like, everything, now that I'm like, look, like thinking about it, like everything that I say, I feel like, and that we've said, and then with a caveat of like, if it's really going to cause you mental harm, you never have to do anything you don't want to do. Universe.
For
you know,
sure.
It's like,
for
just,
For sure.
It's like, if
for
you don't want to go, then you don't have to go. But when you think about all the other things and about what it's like when we get outside of ourselves, I think so that's a crazy situation.
It's
just like the mom being so like judgmental about her, you know, it's always the like kettle calling the pot black, whatever that saying is.
Yeah,
but, like,
always
so hypocritical. You're like, if you are the one who's really pushing for it, let's dig into your skeletons a little bit and see what's happening there.
I mean, like, again, I would watch the show, like the rituals that they had every time she sat down with him. What is going on?
Crazy. And like, God, how embarrassing for this fucking dad to also like, the church, it's like, so the church is like intimately involved in like knowing when your wife has stepped out and like tried to heal it. And like, it's just all very, boundaryless and
shamey,
very gross.
Boundaryless. It's very, because it's a very personal situation, and I'm sure it's being made to feel like a public situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's like, it would be, it's like, you know, we all think of, always think of like our parents as like our parents, and those are the roles they existed in the world, but like they're also people with their own lives and wants and dreams. And like, I think it would, I mean, you know, I hope they get divorced. This dad like deserves a chance at like another life.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
being and that's tied to this.
Divorce is sometimes a happy ending, honestly.
Yeah.
Really. It
is. Yeah.
And but I think it's good. I mean, it sounds like she is like giving her husband a lot of grace, and I think that's good because like,
I think so.
Also like, yeah, like our parents, there is like a point in our life where we're kids where like, we don't know shit and they're the only people we know. And we assume they know everything because they're the only person we know that knows anything. Yeah. And I think that that imprinting happens like really early in life. And so it's very jarring and upsetting and anxiety inducing and shocking to have this person who in some part of your brain is kind of infallible and is very knowledgeable and kind of knows everything fall into something like QAnon or a Bitcoin scheme. Like it's understandable that your husband is so upset because that's a really big disconnect, I think, to deal with mentally.
For sure. Yeah, and then you're like, if you were wrong about that, then what else were you wrong about? And you're half of my identity. Like, yeah.
Right?
So what am I wrong about? I don't even know. Oh, shit.
The amount of times I tell things to my kids, and I'm like, am I making their lie? Like, is this going to come up in 20 years? Where like, but remember that time you said that thing? Like, no, I'm like, there's still stuff that my parents said to me that like comes up when I was like 7. Like, I remember my mom, this is so weird, but like my mom, I don't know what was going on in her world, but she was like, and she was like, you can't trust anybody. You can't even trust me. And I was like, I said that? I'm too young for this to be a thing that's on my shoulders. But like, do you know half of my trust issues in life came from this one moment where like she was probably going through some weird shit.
Oh my God.
And then like never thought about it again. And I was always like at night, like, well, I can't trust my parents. Oh my God. I'm like just terrified. You know, it's like that kind of thing, like where, you totally think your parents know everything. And then at some point you realize that they don't. And it's like life shattering. And then you like pick up the pieces as you get older. But like, if you realize that young, you have a lot of time to pick up the pieces. But if you realize that when you're an adult, there's not a lot of time to like reconcile that. Not at all. And then I don't want to alarm you, but I did learn recently that apparently our brains retain every single memory we remember everything. We just can't access all of them. So like literally the stuff that we forget from childhood amnesia, like it's all there. It's there. I need to start wearing more clothes around my kids. Because I walk around my kids all the time. I'm like, I don't need that stuck in their subconscious.
So it would be helpful if every kid had like a little sticker that told you like when the memories are going to start sticking.
It would be nice to know.
Okay, so her other question with this was,
I just had a follow up question to that. How old can the kid be when you can still keep cussing in front of them? Do we think?
Well, my kids definitely repeat everything that you say, but I'm of the thought that like I'm not going to stop cussing fully around them because as a human being, I swear. And also in the world, there are swear words. So they're going to come across it. But like, I'm trying to like lessen the F bombs or like, you know how I lovingly be like, bitch, come here. I'm like, I try to like stop that a little bit. Cause they literally will go to school and say the things that you said. And so I'm like, I don't need my kid at school. Like, bitch, get over here. And I'm like,
I don't want to get in trouble.
That's my wrong. Sorry.
But I love when parents cuss around their kids. Cause I do feel the same way. It's like of all the things in the world to be worried about, we're worried about you saying shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
And it's like, it's obviously going to happen at some point.
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard like my dad drop an F-bomb like as an adult because I was like, oh, I think me using it freed him.
I have my half-brothers are like way younger than me. They're 17 right now. But when they were like 9, I was in the car with them and one of them was like, you can cuss in front of us now. And I was like,
yes, finally.
Okay.
I'm like, my mom was like a good at tissues, so she never like really swore. But I remember as an adult when my, I think it was like her, when her father died or her mother, we were all like at the funeral. We were, you know, I was older at the time, like 19 or something. You could drink in Canada. And we were all drinking and just like memories. And I was like, I've never heard you swear, mom. And she's like, yeah, I know. It's not really nothing. And I was like, you need to say fuck. And she was like, what? And I was like, you need to just say it. And then like all like her like family who was there, who were like, we were all like, we were just like, yeah, say it. Like we like bullied my mom into saying the F word. And she was so embarrassed. And she was like, fuck. And I was like, say it like you mean it. Come on. So, it was great. It was like, I felt like it was an after school special and I was the bully. It was amazing.
That's amazing. I love that.
It's a lost Degrassi episode.
Yeah.
Okay, her other question, I don't know if we kind of talked about, was how do we respond when they admit divorce? I mean, obviously we can't answer that really, but I think like there's no way you can hedge your, all you can do is just, I don't know.
Yeah, we still love you both. We know. And, yeah. You know, go just, yes, please.
Just we'll stand up and start clapping and say, finally.
Yeah.
And, yeah, everyone can release that tension.
Yeah. Have a confetti, a drape with confetti in it pre-placed in the condo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Balloon drop. Balloon.
Yes.
Bring the balloons. Yes. Yeah. I think, yeah, like, okay, we understand. We love you. We're here for you. Even though I know maybe your husband doesn't really want to say that, but that's all you can do.
Yeah.
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 And then take a breather, because soon you and your husband in a couple years are going to be in the position I've been in, which is helping a parent set up a dating profile. And buckle in.
On the QAnon dating.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh Lord. Gotta get that anti-vax sperm, man.
Oh, God.
Do you know that's like a huge market in the QAnon world right now?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Think about that.
It's just really stupid because nobody's buying it, but there's like a lot of talk about how people are like, yeah, this is like gold. And you're like, no, honey, it's not.
Oh,
it's
honey,
never
gosh.
Been.
And just so think stupid. About who's, think about the person
I know.
Who is like, I'm going to give my sperm because I was vaccinated and I want everybody to have some of my seed. You're like, that's not who anyone wants to have a baby with. But like,
it's not. It's not going to happen.
I feel like all of that sperm has those like wraparound sunglasses on it.
Oh.
Just little mini.
Yeah. Just like imitation Oakley. Yeah.
It's kind of cute in a way.
Yeah.
It's tiny wraparound sunglasses. I mean, come on. It's tiny.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
It's holding a fish.
Maybe we should buy all that sperm and then just dump it in the ocean.
Oh my God.
Like worry about it.
They're giving it to us.
There's the answer.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We solved humanity.
This is a good GoFundMe. This is a great GoFundMe.
Yes, we're starting a GoFundMe right now after this episode.
We're starting at dumb cum.
Yeah, it's like the biggest cum blog.
Wow, look at us, geniuses.
I mean, so many people would donate to that. I think I've got $20 right now. I would put it in the fire.
Yeah,
absolutely. I got 20 on it to save humanity.
That's great. No, that'll get us at least 15 15 vials
of sperm. Wrap around sperm. Oh god, the visual of the sperm with the wraparound sunglasses.
We're gonna need someone. Please draw that for us.
Please
have merch. Just hashtag dumb cum, and that's the visual.
Holy shit!
Oh my god,
that's so good.
Well, you know, I don't think we would have ever gotten to this riff without this lady problem. So something good's coming out of this divorce.
Yes,
absolutely.
Oh my god, Aisha, this has been so much fun. You're great. Sorry to end on this weird note.
This is the climax. This is what I was hoping for this whole time.
Yeah, this is where you got to get it to.
The dumb cum climax. We got your money shot right at the end of the episode.
Oh, yes.
So everybody can watch Based on a True Story on Peacock now. And I know you have a comedy album called All the Parts out and also a podcast. So shout out where everybody can find you and they can listen to your podcast and all that.
Yes. So the podcast is called The Shout Out Show with Sophia Zolan, another hilarious comedian here. So that's on all the platforms where you can listen to podcasts. You can see Based on a True Story on Peacock. And there are free accounts on Peacock, y'all. So you can get on that. And then I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Aisha Alpha. And my website's just AishaAlpha.com. And that's basically where I post all my shows, all the stuff that I'm doing, links to my videos. And people are always like, they sometimes will message me and I welcome messages because I think people think when you have a website and you're a performer that like you don't get these, but people will message me like lovely things and I'll write back and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you read them. And I was like, that's so sweet. And also 100% there's a human being on the end of it. So I encourage people to send me messages, good or bad or otherwise, whatever. You know what I mean?
Only send good messages to her, please.
Yeah.
Just some nice things, please. We only ever want to hear nice stuff.
But this is great. You guys are so lovely. And this is such a fun, you know, and we are all together. We're helping people, right? You guys do it every time. I just came on to get dumb gum out and then we're
good. Hey, that helps somebody. That for sure helps somebody today.
Yeah. You guys are so funny. Oh my God. So funny. Oh, I'm literally going to be laughing later on and my husband would be like, what are you laughing at? I'm just going to say dumb cum and he's not going to understand. So I'm going to need the link to this so he can listen in.
If you're bored filling out your passport stuff, just be like dumb cum.
Yeah.
I'm just joyful that I was a small part of that coming out into the world, that hashtag dumb cum.
Me too. That was a moment
of whatever was happening. It was beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Yeah.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, I just listened to the episode that ended with the mom looking for mom friends. And there is an app called Peanut. And I think there are some regional ones too, but that and then belonging to like a regional Facebook mom group, you can have an opportunity to see people interact or interact with them before you actually have to get in front of them. So I think that that's really good. I was going to say to look for a lupus moms group, but you guys did suggest that. I would really stress for this mom not to underestimate the kind of support, even if that's just a social media group, what kind of support they could give. I left an abusive relationship 3 years ago with a toddler, and some of the best support I've received is in 2 different private Facebook groups of other moms who get it. And it's been invaluable. These women I've never met feel like more than friends. They're kind of like sisters. So, Peanut. And I think there's other apps. And then, just seeking out your people in a less time consuming, safe way. So if somebody doesn't call you hamburger meat, they can just say that stuff online and then you can weed their tacky asses out. Okay. Thanks, ladies. Bye.
Hey ladies, this is Rachel. I am calling mid-pause of Cake Boss episode. Cake Babe episode. To tell you guys, like, I also had the same perception of sex clubs and that you think they're just covered in cum. And they're not. It's actually like Brandy said, kind of towards the end, it's literally the most open and loving environment and most consensual environment. And I feel so heard when I'm at one of those clubs and someone comes on to me, I say no, and they say, okay. And that's it. As a very single woman, when I go out and I say no, it is oftentimes not heard. So, yeah, it sounds way creepier than it is. And it's way more fun than it sounds. And they pretty much always have snacks. So that's great. Anyway, so, yeah, you guys should check one out with your partners. just to see what it's all about. So, yeah, have fun, be open, be loving. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.